I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 35, if you would, please. Genesis 35. We've seen in the life of Jacob where he ran from his family. His father thought he was dying. Ended up, he didn't die for over 20 years later. But his father blessed him and sent him away because he didn't want him to take a wife from the people around him. He wanted to go back to the people of his mother's family and take a wife. And he was concerned about the rift that was between Esau and Jacob. And if Isaac died, Esau had stated that he was going to kill Jacob. And all of these things were concerns to his Jacob and to his father and mother. And so Isaac blesses Jacob and sends him off to find a wife of his mother's family in Syria in the house of Laban. And he did that, and we've studied all of that, and now he's returning back. God has called him to go back, and last week we saw that he had delayed obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience, and partial obedience is disobedience, And they didn't. They only went part way back. They didn't go all the way back to Bethel. They didn't go all the way back to the place of God. And bad things happened. We looked at that last week. But now he's re-engaging in his travels, getting back to the place of God. And we're going to pick up reading in verse 1 of chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. And that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Talking about when he came out, he was the first night on his journey. He saw that ladder that extended from heaven and the angels going up and down. And God spoke to him for the first time and revealed himself as the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and declared himself to be Jacob's God as well. And Jacob makes a vow to God at that place that he would serve him. And so that's what God is referring to, go back to that place where you met God. And it says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you." Now we already learned that Rachel had taken some of her father's idols when they left Laban's house. Laban accused Jacob of taking those, and so he searched all the tents and didn't find them because Rachel had them in a trunk, and she was sitting on that trunk, and her father didn't search there, and so she kept those things, and Jacob didn't even know about them at that time. And it obviously there are other people that had collected things along the way, or maybe had brought them from Syria, or maybe they brought them from Succoth, or maybe they brought them from Shechem. But the bottom line is, they had idols. And Jacob wanted them to be right with God. They were going to the place of God. My friend, if we're going to seriously meet with God, we've got to make some things right with God in our lives. We've got to get rid of the idols. That's part of what's destroying our nation. There's too many idols. Even among God's people, idols of our hearts. And Jacob leads his nation. We haven't always seen Jacob leading well. But in this situation, he does a good job. He leads, and he calls his family to get right with God, to be clean before God, and to remove the idols from them, and to get ready to go meet God, go to the house of God. You know, when we meet with God, we need to get ready.
That's right, sir.
Not only in our hearts, but, you know, meeting with God and worshiping God is a little bit different than doing chores at your house. But, you know, we had somebody show up from work Wednesday night. And I, you know what? I was glad they came to church because they just barely got off from work and just barely made it. I'd rather them be here and dirty than not here at all, right?
Yes, sir.
But the bottom line is, worshiping God in the house of God ought to be a special place. People ask me, do you think you're more spiritual because you wear a suit? No, not at all. Spirituality is not about what you wear. Spirituality is about who's in your heart and being right with that person. But, you know, church is a special place. When I do something special, I get dressed up. You know, if I'm going on a special date with my wife, I want to get cleaned up. I want to get ready for that. When we go to meet with God, in a special time of worship like Sunday. Sunday's a special time of worship, right?
Yes, sir.
It's not the same as when we worship on our own tomorrow. Now, worship is still special, right? But it's not the same as getting together with God's people in the house of God here. And that's what Jacob is leading his family. We need to get ready to meet God. We're going to the house of God. You know, when we go to the house of God, we need to get ready.
Yes.
We need to get our heart ready. We need to get ourselves ready. We need to get cleaned up spiritually. We need to get cleaned up on the outside. We just need to get ready for a special thing, because worshiping God is a special thing.
Amen.
He goes on and he says, "Let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods." Notice that, all the strange gods. When you're getting right with God, you don't need to hang on to anything.
Yes, sir.
You need to get it all taken care of. It's far too often we hang on to some of that sin. We need to get it all right. And all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under an oak tree which was by Shechem. So they left them there in Shechem. The Canaanites, the place of the world, they left that there. They're going to meet the Lord. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that round about them. This is the protection of God. They didn't have to worry about any enemies. God was protecting them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. That is Bethel. That's the name. Bethel is the name he gave it, because it means the house of God. And he and all the people that were with him, and he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him. And when he fled from the face of his brother. I'm going to stop reading there, and we're going to look at the rest of this this morning. But I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to pray. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this text of Scripture where we see Jacob being the man of the house, being the head of his home, and leading his family to worship you in a right way, in the right place, the place where you told him to go when he left Laban's house. This is where you wanted him to go. It took him too long to get there and had a lot of regrets along the way. But Lord, we're finally getting where you sent him to be. Lord, help us not to delay being where you want us to be. Lord, help us to get serious in our relationship with you so we can experience your protection and your blessing in our lives. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We come just as we are, but he changes us. Amen.
Yes, sir.
The key is in him changing us to be what he wants us to be. We come broken, but he heals us. We come empty, and he fills us. The key is coming to the right source to get the right thing. And when you come to the Lord, it's always the right source. And when you walk with the Lord, you're always in the right place. And that's where we see Jacob getting back to the right place, the place where God wanted him to be. And you know, the first thing I see here that we read about here in this text is God telling Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. We looked at that before when he was in the house of Laban. He told him to leave and go back to his father's land, go back to the place where he met God. And this is the place he met God. And he's been dragging his feet. He's been delaying, and bad things have been happening. You know, a lot of times when we get away from that intimacy with the Lord, that excitement about knowing the Lord, because it's all new and it's all fresh, we can become very cold spiritually. And that's where I'm afraid too many Christians are. They've been saved for a while. We're 20 years past this event in the life of Jacob. And he's been a little wayward. He's gotten a little cold toward the Lord. We read just a few weeks ago, he was about to make a coalition with the Canaanites. They were the enemies of God, and he was about to make an agreement with them because of what happened with Diana. That's not the solution to the problem. Creating a new problem is never the solution to a problem. Our government needs to figure that out.
Amen.
They create new problems by fixing problems. They don't even fix the problems. They just cause a new problem. We need to pray for our nation. Amen?
Yes.
But the deal is, we need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
As God's people, as followers of Christ, we need to be helpers in the solution, not part of the problem bringing our nation down. And now we see Jacob getting it fixed. He's been part of the problem the whole time. When his sons killed all of the men of Shechem, he wanted to blame his sons for making him to stink in front of the people. No, it was they shouldn't have been there in the first place. That was the problem. Now we see him taking leadership. We see him listening to God and acting exactly on what God says. God says, go to Bethel. They're going to Bethel. Men, that's the kind of leadership we need in our homes. We need men that listen to God and do what God tells them to do, and they don't drag their feet and they don't compromise. In our churches, we need men who will listen to God and follow God, even when it's not very popular. You know, I was reading today about Jeremiah and about some of the prophets and how they preached against the sin of the people, and they weren't popular. You know, people don't like to hear about their sin and why it's wrong. You know, we don't mind somebody picking on somebody else's sin, but don't mess with my sin. And guess what? We all have certain sins that we prefer over other sins. Don't look at me like that. There's supposed to be an amen right there. Let's be honest with each other, okay? See, you don't like me preaching about your sin because it's your sin. You don't mind me preaching about somebody else's sin because that's not your sin. You will say amen to that. The bottom line is, we all need to get right with God. None of us need to coddle sin. The Bible still says, and we should still believe, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Not just somebody else, me, in my life, you in your life. See, we see Jacob taking leadership and cleaning house, so to speak, literally, actually, cleaning house of these idols. You know, the bottom line is, he's returning to the place where he came to know God. There's too many people. You've been saved a while. When you first got saved, it was new, it was fresh, it was exciting. And God was changing things in your life. And you were so thankful for His grace, you didn't mind getting sin out of your life. You were so thankful that you were going to heaven and not to hell. You didn't mind holiness in your life. In fact, you relished holiness in your life. And too often, after a while of walking with the Lord and things just kind of getting passe and just kind of normal, we start getting lazy spiritually. You know, I've seen it happen way too often, especially in families, where parents, when their kids are young, they're serious about the Lord, they're serious about church, they're serious about sharing Scripture in the home, and they're serious about all that stuff, and they're serious about protections, and they're serious about discipline, and they're serious about schedules, and they're serious about all that stuff. And when the kids move out and they're gone, they aren't serious about anything anymore. They don't eat at the table anymore. They don't half time don't even eat together anymore. Nothing is like it used to be, including church. And far too often, those things that we kept out of our life and we were disciplined about because we wanted to be a good example to our children, we let them creep right back into our life. Guess what? They're still just as wrong now as they were when the kids were at home. Don't get lazy spiritually just because you've been saved for a while. Yes, sir. That's what we see with Jacob. It had gotten a little old. He'd gotten a little cold. My friend, don't let that happen to you spiritually. Maybe you've allowed some things to creep back into your life that once you got out of your life. Guess what? If God wanted them out of your life a long time ago, I imagine He still wants them out of your life now. We need to be careful about the idols of our heart. See, Jacob is returning to the place where he came to know the Lord. You know, when you first get to know the Lord, you listen to Him really well because you hadn't listened to Him before. It's all new. It's all fresh. But when we've been saved for a while, we become a little dull of hearing. Especially when we let sin into our life and we get these idols of our heart, we become dull of hearing. See, God spoke to Jacob about His will for his life to go back to Bethel. And now we see Jacob having a resurgence of commitment to get back to the place God wanted him to be a long time ago, over 20 years before God wanted him to be in this place. See, the word, God's word came to Jacob, and he had heard God speak before, and he had left Laban's house when God told him to, but he hadn't gotten back where God told him to go. But now we see him listening to the word of God and getting back to the place where God wanted him all along. You know what? We need to listen to God speak to our hearts. But to be listening to God speak to our hearts, we've got to be in tune with God, listening to him. This book will help you be in tune with the Lord. Just like a radio station. You know, you got to tune into the frequency of the station. And if you travel away, sometimes that station's not as clear. And sometimes there's another station just like it in another area, just a little different frequency, but you can still tune in. But you got to make that adjustment. See, this book will help us to be in tune with the Lord and listening to him. And it says, so he hears the word of God and he's responding to the word of God. God's word is given to us in the Bible to help us know him and know his will. The thing is, we've got to get into it and learn it and listen to it. We've got to let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts from it. You know, God's word is consistent. There's a lot of people that think God has changed his mind on a few things. Guess what? God hasn't changed his mind on anything.
That's right.
What was sexual perversion before is still sexual perversion today. What was sin before is still sin today. Guess what? Drunkenness is still sin. Sex outside of marriage is still sin. Oh, you say, Pastor, people don't want to hear that today. Guess what? It's still in the book. We still need to preach the truth. Amen? See, the Word of God is consistent. See, he's getting back to loving the presence of God like he used to. When he first met with God, back there in Genesis 28, when he was leaving his family, and God met with him, man, he loved that place. And then he spent some time up with Laban, and he got married, and he had some kids, and did some work, and all of that. And he's gotten all of this wealth, and now he's traveling back, and he didn't get all the way to where God wanted him to be. He stopped 20 miles or 25 miles short of where God actually wanted him to be. Now he's getting back to loving the presence of God, the place of God, the house of God. That's what Bethel means, the house of God. You know, it's sad to me how, you know, too many Christians don't love the house of God. They don't love getting together with God's people. Man, church ought to be a priority. We ought to make it a priority. When we love God, we love what God loves. Amen? Worshiping with God's people is something God loves. And when we love God and we love his presence, we ought to love getting together with God's people and worshiping together. Being in God's presence, before God's throne. And when we love God right, we love prayer. It's not even work. Being in God's presence and being before the throne of God and praying, that we ought to love that.
Amen.
See, Jacob's getting back to where he first met the Lord, when it was all new, back to listening to God's word with a great sensitivity, back to loving the presence of God like he used to, and living in God's way like you used to. I mentioned before, a lot of times as we get older, we get a little lazy spiritually. I realize that our bodies don't work like they used to. I realize we don't have the energy and stamina like we used to. But you know what? We still need to be walking with God. We still need to be walking in his ways. You know, I think it's interesting that David's temptation with Bathsheba and sin with Bathsheba was when he was older. He got a little lazy spiritually. Let's not be like that. Let's keep the fire of passion for the Lord burning strong. Let's keep our commitment of walking in the ways of God going strong. You know what? This book will help us to do that. See, this book will help that fire burn. You know, a fire, if you don't feed it fuel, it goes out. That's why they do backfires when they're fighting a forest fire. They'll burn up the fuel that the fire is headed toward, so when the fire gets there, there's nothing to burn. You know, there's a lot of Christians, they're not feeding the fire. They're not feeding that passion for the Lord. You know what this right here is? It's like wood on a fire. Just keep stoking the fire, feeding it. Keep that passion going strong with the Lord by being in His Word, letting His Spirit speak to your heart. You know what being in the house of God is? Being in the worship with God's people, listening to the preaching and teaching of God's Word, it's like adding fuel to the fire. Keep that fire burning strong. Don't let it go out. I realize we're not going to lose our salvation. The fire is not truly going to go out, but man, it sure can flicker. Amen. Have you ever lit a match or lit a candle and put a jar over the top of it? It starts just kind of sputtering. You lift that jar up, poof. What's going on? Oxygen. It's feeding the flame, right? Put the jar back down. Oxygen gets depleted. It starts flickering. Take the jar off. Poof. You know, the presence of God is like that oxygen feeding the fire. We need to talk to the Lord. We need to keep things right with Him. And keep that keep our relationship with Him going strong. I got major problems here. All right, let's move on. Returning to God's place involves leaving where we are. And that's where we see Jacob going right now. We see him returning to the place of God, and we see him leaving where he is. And that's what he tells his people. God tells him to arise and go back to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar. And he leads his family, and he gets his household together, and he calls them together to put away from them the strange gods. And he says, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar, and an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my trouble." See, they're leaving. They've left the Canaan. They've left where they were. Can we go to the next slide there, please? Thank you. And the next one? Thank you very much. See, repentance is personal, but it can be an influence on others. And that's what Jacob does. He's listening to God personally, and then he's leading his family collectively. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Men, that's how we need to lead in our families. We need to listen to God speak to our hearts personally, and we need to get things right in our lives personally, and then we need to lead our families in that same way. And that's what we see with Jacob here. He's getting things right with God. He's doing it personally, and he's being an influence on his family as they are following him. He says, "Put away from you, get things cleaned up, and let us arise and go up to Bethel." And then we also see this is about repentance. And they're repenting to the Lord. They're getting things right. They're getting things out of their life in relationship with the Lord. Repentance is about admitting that things are wrong. See, he obviously knows that these idols are there. How he knows it, I don't know. Maybe he had some of his own. Maybe he had seen some people with them, and he wasn't making a big deal out of it before. But now they're going back to the place of God. They're going to the house of God. Now we need to get these things out. We need to remove those things from us. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4, if you would, please. We read it at the beginning of the service, James chapter 4. If you go all the way back to the back and work forward, you'll get there pretty quick. Before Revelation is Jude and John and then Peter and James. Go to James chapter 4. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have, but ye cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, Yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, the world will cause us to become cold spiritually. The world will draw us to sin and away from the Lord. Repentance is about admitting you got a problem. Jacob said, hey, we got a problem. We've been in the world way too long. We should have been in Bethel a long time ago. We've collected some things along the way. We need to get some things right. You know, the Bible still says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, confession is admitting you got a problem. It's agreeing with God. That's what the word means in the Greek. It's agreeing with God. It's saying what God says is wrong, and I agree with God about it. And that's what we see Jacob doing. Idolatry is wrong. God said so. It's not keeping God first. It's not keeping focused on God. It's not keeping passionate about God. It's wrong. We need to get rid of it. We need to repent of it. Repentance means to turn from something to something. You're turning from the idol to the Lord. You're turning from sin to obedience. My friend, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do as individuals. It starts personally before it's ever going to happen corporately.
That's right.
In my life for me, in your life for you. You know how we can have revival in Somerville Baptist Church? If the individuals of Somerville Baptist Church will admit the sin in their life and turn to the Lord and forsake that sin and get things right with God, then that is an added influence in this church. And you know how America's going to have revival? If you see individual churches all over America having revival, getting things right with God, getting sin out of the church, out of their lives as individual believers, and getting serious about the Lord and having a passion for God, then you know what's going to happen? That's going to just kind of move around. That's how revival's going to come to America. It starts with individuals. And then it moves to a group of people like a church. And then it continues on. Every revival, study revivals throughout history, the Welsh revival, the Great Awakenings of America, or even in Europe, any revival you want, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. They start with individuals getting serious about God, getting sin out of their life. And then that individual influences and affects other people, and they do the same thing. And then you got a group of people who are serious about God and passionate for God and keeping things right with God and not letting the sin collect in their life. And then that just kind of moves around, and it flows through a community. And here's another thing about revivals. You look at the history. When revival came to a town, the bars shut down because nobody was going there. Interesting connection, isn't it? Interesting connection. Hey, you read into that anything you want. That's between you and God. I'm pretty clear on it in my mind.
Yes.
Every revival is the same way. The bars shut down. You know why? People were right in God and they weren't going there anymore. See, repentance is personal. Repentance is admitting you got a problem. In James chapter 4, they got a problem. Last chapter 34 of Genesis, they had a problem. They were in Shechem when they ought to be in Bethel. And now we see Jacob getting that problem fixed. Repentance is the result of moving from where you are to go where God wants you to be. There in James, continue on. Look at what it says there in verse 6. It says, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You want God to resist you? Keep sin in your life and be prideful about it. Don't act like you need God. Act like you're just fine on your own. Act like that sin in your life is okay, and it's really no big deal. Just keep acting like that, you'll have God resisting you. If Jacob stayed in Shechem, he would have still not been where God wanted to be. And he wouldn't have received the blessings of God like he could have. And the same thing's true in our lives. See, repentance is about admitting you got a problem. Pride's a problem. Lust is a problem. Self-centeredness is a problem. Lying is a problem. Lack of integrity is a problem. Immorality is a problem. These are all problems. They're called sins. Amen? Amen?
Sir.
And before you're ever going to get right with God, you got to admit you got a problem.
Yes, sir.
Just like in life-saving, when you got a lifeguard getting trained, they tell them, wait until they quit thrashing around before you go help them, because if you don't, they're going to drown you too. As long as you think you got it covered and you're going to be okay, you don't need any help, guess what? You're going to keep drowning. But the minute you say, it's too big for me, I can't do it, this sin has got me in bondage, God, I need your help, you're just going to keep drowning. That's what repentance is.
Yes.
It's getting serious about your situation, admitting you got a problem,
yes, sir.
And then it moving from where you are to where God wants you to be. Getting the sin out. That's what Jacob does in his leadership of his family. He gets them all together, says, we got a problem. Idolatry. We've been in the world too long, and we've collected a lot of baggage along the way. Guess what? The longer you stay in the world, the more baggage you're going to collect. And the longer you stay there, the more efforts are going to take to get things right. As Jacob says, we got to get some things right. I want you to get all those trinkets you got, all those things that remind you of those idols of the world. I want you to get them all together, and we're going to get rid of them. We're going to get them out of our life.
Amen.
That's what we've got to do. We've got to get sin out of our life. To meet with God, to be in the right relationship with God, we've got to repent. We've got to turn away from it toward the Lord. That's what Jacob's doing. He's turning away from Shechem and he's going to Bethel. Back to where he met God. Back to where he was listening to God. Back to where he made a commitment to God. Back to where he fell in love with God. It got a little cold for him. He's getting back close to the fire. Amen.
Amen.
It's where too many Christians are. They've allowed things to get a little cold. See, repentance is completed by replacing that sinfulness with righteousness. And that's what Jacob does. He collects all those trinkets, buries them in Shechem, and leaves them there. Get that? He left them in Shechem, and he went to the house of God. You know what? A lot of times when we pray, maybe you pray at your seat, maybe you come and pray at the altar, and we even sing the song, leave it there, right? But so, as humans are, we are, so often we talk to the Lord about it, and we say we're laying it down before the Lord, we're casting our care upon Him because we know He cares for us, and when we get up, we put it back on and we take it with us. Man, you know what I love about this? At least in the Bible record, that's all the information we're going on, right? Nobody dug anything up. That is significant, amen? Because you and I both know how idols of our heart can be and how they draw on us and they tug on us and we don't know how we're going to make it without them. And Satan just exploits that and uses that to his advantage. But they left them there. If we're really going to get right with God, we got to remove the sin and leave it out. Don't make room for it. You know, there's a story in the scripture in the life of Jesus. It's a parable. He's telling a story about a man that cleaned his house and got all the bad stuff out of his house, but he didn't fill it back up with good stuff and the evil came right back in. You know, in counseling, we tell there's replacement. If you're going to remove music that is not pleasing to God, you need to replace it with music that is pleasing to God. If you are in a habit of reading things that are lustful, they produce lust in your mind. And ladies, I know you can condemn the things the guys read that create lust in their minds. But guess what? There's a lot of those romance novels that are just perverted as anything else. Can I have an amen to that?
Amen.
Can I have any women say amen to that? Okay. It's the same for us all. We like picking on... Didn't I say something about we like the preacher picking on somebody else's sin but not ours?
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
Amen.
It fits both ways, male, female. It's just a little different with the guys or the girls. But it's the same problem, lust. But see, if you've been in a habit of reading something that doesn't please God, you need to get that out. You need to get rid of that, throw it away, burn it, whatever. Don't keep it in your house because you're just going to go back to it. But you need to replace it with something that does honor God. Amen? Whatever you got struggles with, if you do not replace it with something righteous, it will draw you right back in, and it's going to be even harder to get rid of it next time. We've got to replace it, and that's what we see. What is Jacob replacing it with? The house of God. Amen. He gets all those trinkets, he buries them, and they take off. They don't stick around anymore. They're headed to Bethel. They're going to the place of God. They're going to the house of God. They're going to be right with God. They're replacing it with righteousness. My friend, that's what we need to do. Notice, if you would, please, in James chapter 4, it talks about God resisting the proud. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. What a wonderful promise. If you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. If you submit yourself to Him, you can have victory. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And part of getting right with God is cleaning things up. And that's what Jacob says here in Genesis 35. He says, hey, we need to clean up on the outside and we need to clean up on the inside. Getting rid of the idols, cleaning up on the inside. Taking a shower and getting dressed up, getting cleaned up on the outside, we're going to the house of God. We're going to have a special meeting with God back where I met God in the first place. See, my friend, Jacob is getting back to Bethel, back to where he fell in love with the Lord. See, repenting and returning requires a change of action and attitude. And that's what we see with Jacob. We see change. We see the change of getting rid of the strange gods. We see the change of changing their garments and getting cleaned up. We see the change of leaving Shechem and traveling to Bethel. And we see the change of worshiping God only with a right heart. See, a change of attitude and change of action. It starts in the heart. There's the attitude. But it ought to extend to the outside too. Just like over there in James, it says, clean your hands and purify your heart. The heart is the attitude. The hands is the action. Repenting and getting right with God involves the heart and the hands.
Yes, sir.
See, getting sin out of your life involves the heart and the action. You need to repent of it. You need to remove it. But then you need to create some boundaries and protections to keep you from going back there. Amen? Maybe it's putting a stronger filter on the internet. Maybe it's staying out of a certain part of the grocery store. Maybe it's not even driving the way you used to drive when you went home from work because you always stopped at a certain place with the fellas. See, getting right with God involves a change of heart, attitude, and a change of action. It's both. It's not just one. It's both. See, Jacob is making some changes here. And he's leading his family to make changes in his life, in their lives as well. And men, that's what we need to do with our families. We need to lead our families in the right way. Just like Jacob did, leading his family. And Jacob, we see him here encouraging his family to make real changes in their lives. Guess what, fellas? Mom, you can't lead your children to make changes that you're not making in your life. To lead means to be ahead. That means you are in a place you want to help somebody else get to. Amen? And that's what we see Jacob. He's committed, he's listening to God, and God says, get back to Bethel, and he's committed that personally. Now he's leading his family to do it as well. But it starts with him. Starts personally, then it extends to others. Men, we need to lead in our families. Jacob led his family to honor God and to enjoy his blessing. And that's what we see here. We see him leading his family back to Bethel. And along the way, they had some sadness with Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, dying. But they don't let that stop them. And they bury her there at Bethel under an oak tree. And the Bible says in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 35, when they get back to Bethel, they have the sadness of death of Deborah's death, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram. That's the world, a picture of the world. And he blessed him. You know, I don't know a parent, especially a Christian parent, that doesn't want their child to be blessed by God. Amen. Well, we've got to lead them in those blessings. We've got to teach them about walking in the ways of God. We've got to teach them about honoring God. We've got to teach them about living the way God wants them to live so God can bless them. Just like we talk about God bless America, guess what? God will bless America when America starts blessing God. And it's not just true about America. It's true about my life and your life. The blessing of God is attached to obedience to God.
Amen.
We see Jacob here getting back to the place of God, getting back to the house of God. So God was blessing him in a new and fresh way. And notice here we see this change taking place in his life. We see him returning to the place of God, where God wanted him. But notice this change that takes place in his life. God appeared to him and God said, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." And he called his name Israel. Remember the first time we see this change? Back there when his hip was put out of joint. Remember that? The angel of the Lord said, "What is your name?" He says, "Jacob." And he says, "Your name's going to be Israel." But we don't see that changing until he gets back to the place of God. Here, when he's back at Bethel, God says, "No more are you going to be known as Jacob." You know what Jacob means? Trickster. See, God started changing that identity when he met with him at Bethel the first time. And God continued to change that at the brook Jabbok, where he wrestled with God. But here that change is taking place completely. And he says, "You're not going to be known as the trickster anymore. You're going to be known as Israel, the people of God." And from this time on, it is Israel. You know, we need God to change us. As we get back to the place of God, he changes us and he blesses us. You know, part of the blessing, we read about it, as they were going through the land, they didn't have to worry about anybody attacking them because God was protecting them. Parents, you want God to protect your children, don't you? Lead them in the way they should go. We want protection. We pray for it all the time, right? Be in the place God wants you to be. The safest place you can be on the face of earth is in the center of God's will. Where he is protecting you. And he's not only protecting you, he's providing for you.
Yes.
See, God provides for his children in a great way as they obey him. And we see him blessing them. We see him giving them a new name. We see him worshiping God. That's the next thing he does. God says unto him, "I am God Almighty." He's making himself known to him. And he tells him to be fruitful and multiply, and a great nation and a great company, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land that I gave unto Abraham and Isaac, I will give it, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee. And God went up from him, from the place where he talked with him. See, the place of God is where you listen to God more intently. You're more sensitive to God. Things are out of your life that are hindering you from listening to God. And you're more in tune with God. It's more intimate worship. And guess what Jacob does the very next thing? He sets up an altar. He sets up a pillar in that place And he pours a drink offering upon it. And Jacob called it with a place where God spake unto him, Bethel. You know, my friend, that intimate worship, that's in the place where you're close to God, where you're sensitive to God. No distractions, no hindrances, no sin in your life. Things are right with God. There's no hindrances. There's no limitations. It's intimate worship. You got a new identity. He's called Israel instead of Jacob. That happened when he got back to where God wanted him to be. And remember this. Do not forget this. He should have been here a long time ago. You know what? The same is true in our lives. Sometimes as we delay obedience to God, we hinder Him blessing in our lives. And we see this renewed blessing. He gives them, he restates the Abrahamic covenant with Jacob, the blessing of God, as Jacob is back in the place of God. He's back into that place of renewed fellowship. The sin's been removed. He's gotten back where God wants him to be. He's back into that fervency with the Lord, that close intimacy with the Lord. And he's having sweet fellowship with the Lord. Maybe things have gotten a little cold for you. Maybe you're not quite as close to the Lord as you once were. On the bottom of your handout, you see these references in Revelation. Every one of those are a call to a church to repent. These are the churches of Revelation. Each of these passages, the church is called to repent. My friend, as a church, if we're going to experience revival in our lives, we must repent. Repent of the things that we've allowed to get into our lives that aren't honoring to God. And get back to the place where we are serious about our relationship with the Lord. God may have spoken to you about something you need to repent of. Just between you and God, would you commit yourself to repent to that? Would you not leave here today without getting that right with Him? What do you need to repent of? I'm sure in a group this size, there's some that are similar, but I'm sure there's a lot of differences in what we need to repent of. Maybe you've gotten a little cold spiritually. You need to return back to Bethel, the place where you are passionate about the Lord, the place where you loved His Word more. And I'm making a challenge to you. The book of James is like the New Testament Proverbs. It's all about Christian living. You remember that principle about replacement? When you get something bad out, you need to replace it with something good. The book of James is really, really good. I want to challenge you this week, when you feel drawn to that thing you repented of today, would you pick up your Bible and start reading out of the book of James and replace that draw with something good, the righteous Word of God? And here's another challenge you might want to take up. I quoted to you 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you've never memorized it, it is a great verse. It's only four lines. It's really not that hard, but it's a great recipe for revival in my life personally, your life personally, our church collectively, and our nation at large. Jacob is leading his family back to the place of God. When he first was there, it was just him. He didn't have a family. He was leaving his family. He was alone with God. Now we see him getting back to the place of God, and he's leading his family there. And guess what that family will become? The entire nation of Israel. I believe it's possible that God can use somebody in this audience right here to be a great influence in the future of our nation. But it starts with you personally. Before you can ever lead a nation, you need to lead yourself back to the place of God. It starts by leaving where you are and getting where God wants you to be. Let's pray.